The following is an encore presentation of Car Talk.
Come on, tell the truth, will you?
The following is a moldy old repeat of Car Talk.
That's better.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the business school here at Car Talk Plaza.
Right, you get an MBA right here. This is from, evidently, a magazine ran a contest and asked people to submit quotes for real-life Dilbert-type managers.
Uh-huh.
We all know Dilbert.
And, well, not everybody. Dilbert is a comic strip that's probably in about half the papers in the country.
That's all?
Well, so I'm extrapolating. It's in half the papers in Boston.
So that's good.
What
sample.
Could be wrong with that logic?
Not a thing.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
You qualify. You could be a Dilbert manager yourself. Here are a few of the winning entries. One day, my boss asked me to submit a status report to him concerning a project I was working on. I asked him if tomorrow would be soon enough. He said, if I wanted it tomorrow, I would have waited until tomorrow to ask you for it. I worked for him once. Quote from the boss. What I need is a list of specific unknown problems that we will encounter. In my favorite, and it was their favorite too, because it came in first. Here's a note. As of tomorrow, employees will be able to access the building using individual security cards. Pictures will be taken next Wednesday, and employees will receive their cards in 2 weeks. It's like getting a two-week vacation.
Well, if you'd like to talk about something stupid your boss said, or something stupid about your car, or just talk in general, our number is 888.
Or just talk stupid in general.
Or just talk to a couple of stupid guys. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, how you doing? My name's Chuck. I'm calling from New York.
Hi,
hey,
Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, how are you? The
good.
Big city right there, New York, Manhattan,
oh,
you mean?
Oh, heavens, no. The only good part of New York, the upstate area.
Oh. Okay. So where are you from, like Unadilla?
From Watertown.
Watertown?
Oh,
it's even worse.
You must be
I didn't think there was a more godforsaken place than Unadilla, New York.
Oh, you've never been to Watertown.
Watertown is, yeah.
Watertown, you must be in the Army.
No, not at all.
You're not?
I'm actually a retired Army pilot, though.
Ah, you are. Because
yeah.
As we know, the big Army base is there, man, where I did much of my training.
Camp Drum. Is that what it is?
It's yeah. Fort Drum now.
It's now called Fort Drum.
Oh, it was right. Camp Drum when my brother was there. They were using teepees.
Yeah, we used to have a tax every once in a while.
So what's going on, Chuck?
Well, I got a problem with a Ford. It's a F-250 with a 460.
Got it.
I headed to the shop, and I had a major tune-up. Oh, that's what the guy called it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then after his major tune-up, it was discovered that, hey, in the major tune-up, he doesn't consider replacing the spark plug wires or the distributor cap.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it still ran badly, and then I had those replaced by the dealership. Well, now, when I start it, the RPM will race a couple times, and then the truck will stall out. And it's particularly bad when the truck's warm.
How old is this truck, and how many miles on it?
It's a 1990, and it has 78,000 on it.
Mm-hmm. So now, whether the engine's cold or warm, you start it up, the RPM climbs for a second or so, and then plummets, and the thing stalls.
Yeah, usually it'll climb once or twice. It'll race.
It'll surge. And then boom.
And then it stalls.
And then how do you get it to run?
Usually I'll just try starting it again, and if I leave my foot lightly on the gas, it'll start up and run.
And it'll run smoothly?
Yeah, it runs smooth.
And was it not doing this when you brought it in for the major tune-up?
No, it was. Yeah, it was doing that.
That's why you brought it in, because it was doing that.
Exactly.
Okay. And so whatever he did didn't fix it, but also didn't make it any worse.
No, but I'm a lot poorer.
Yeah, and you're a lot poorer.
Well, the first guy suggested that the major tune-up would fix this surging problem, and then the Ford dealer, when you took it to them, said, well, he did a major tune-up but didn't change the cap and wires. We're going to replace them, and replacing those is going to solve this surging problem?
That's what he told me. I think that all it did was help to finance their purchase of the diagnostic equipment.
Yeah, well, the stuff is very expensive, you know.
Hey, that's what he said.
Chuck, someone's going to pay for it.
And it's always the low man on the pole, so to speak.
I was singled out.
No, you should feel honored that somewhere, and it's like donating to the hospital fund, you know, when they're going to build a new wing. You've done your part to keep the diagnostics alive and well in Watertown, New York.
I think so.
Well, I think you have either a vacuum leak, and that's why I asked you how, if the thing ran well when it was warmed up. In other words, if you came to a traffic light after 15 minutes of driving, do you feel that the thing runs smoothly at that traffic light, or do you feel any kind of roughness in the performance of the engine?
I would say it runs smoothly.
It runs smoothly.
You know,
and when it does this surging thing, it only does it for less than a minute, and then it runs okay?
Yeah, once I get it running.
So when you hold your foot on the pedal there for half a minute, and then you can take your foot off the pedal, and it'll idle at like 1,000 RPM.
That's right. It'll idle just below 1,000 RPM.
Lousy answers you gave us, Chuck. Those are lousy answers.
Well, there are lots of things that can cause this, not the least of which is a vacuum leak, but a faulty idle air control motor can cause this problem. A faulty coolant temp sensor is probably the most likely thing. We replace a lot of coolant temp sensors on Ford vehicles. But in order to, you could go out and just start buying these things, which we recommend because we have shares in the companies that sell the parts. But yeah. And that you could eventually solve the problem by the hit or miss method, or you could actually take it to some place and have them run a diagnostic on it where they will actually test some of these components.
They want to test the output of these things.
Would it be cheaper for me to buy the diagnostic equipment than to pay for the test?
Well, you are buying it. It's just that they're holding it for you.
Right, when you make the last payment, they'll send it to your house. It's like a layaway plan.
Well, because then you'd have to take all the courses and figure out how to use the stuff. It isn't worth it. Trust me.
So this way I'm just paying for the equipment and they'll fix it for me.
Yeah.
Make sure they don't overlook the simple stuff first. I mean, you know, the tendency these days is because cars are computer controlled to assume it's one of those components. But it could easily be a vacuum leak, and that should be investigated first. Once they've eliminated all the, quote, mechanical things that it could be, then you go into diagnosing the electrical components.
Okay.
And they could easily find out that it's a bad sensor. And my vote is for the coolant temp sensor.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
See you, Chuck.
Good for you,
okay,
man.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait, before we go on, we got a note here from a guy named Dave Flood. And Dave is going to his 50th reunion at UMass, University of Massachusetts. And he and some of his classmates, one of his classmates in particular, had a dream. A dream! You ready? And in that dream, he, this classmate, and a couple of other classmates were singing Coney Island Babe.
Oh my God, this is pretty sick.
Dave knows that we know the song. I don't know why. We must have mentioned it one day. And he doesn't know the words. But in the dream...
Well, the guy said goodbye.
In the dream, he says, they knew the words. So he wants to know, A, could we tell him the words? And I in fact, have already answered him with the words.
Do you know all the words?
Certainly, and so do you.
There are more than we sing.
Well, we know enough to make it look like we know the words. I thought we should...
Oh, yeah, because usually the tomatoes start flying after we sing that first verse.
Well, I thought we ought to sing just the few words that we know, so he'll know what the email means, because, you know, my honey and all that stuff. You don't know where that fits in the thing. You ready? So give me the note, and we'll do it.
Goodbye, my Coney Island baby. Farewell, my old true love,
my honey. I'm gonna go away and leave you, never to see you anymore.
Never gonna see you anymore.
I'm gonna sail upon that ferry boat, never to return again.
So goodbye,
farewell,
so long, forever.
Boom, boom, goodbye, my Coney Island.
Boom, boom, goodbye, my Coney Island.
Boom, boom, goodbye, my Coney Island.
Goodbye, my Coney Island.
The FCC is on line one.
All right, Dave, have a great reunion.
Yeah. God, what did you? How did I get talked into that?
Because you can't resist. If I start singing Coney Island Babe, there is no way that you can say I'm not going to do my part.
Try the me. Same. 1-888.
It only works once a day.
Once every 20 years. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who's there?
This is Melissa Peterson from Seattle.
What are the chances of this? Years ago, we had a young lady with the same name. I think she was Seattle,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she was from Seattle,
who was the
too.
Biggest pain-in-the-neck caller that we've ever had in our entire career on the radio.
She was, like, at the time, 14 years old or something like that, and all she did was castigate us for being stupid, loud, ridiculous, inane, sophomoric.
You know, I think I remember her.
Yeah,
she
I'll bet
so
you do.
Right.
How old are you, Melissa Peterson?
I am 19.
19, so that was about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No!
Is it really you, Melissa?
Yes, it really is.
You little pain in the butt. How are you?
I'm a big pain in the butt now. But
you
I'm
are. You're a real. You're an actual woman now.
Yeah.
You're probably a college student.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go to school?
I'm going to be going to the University of Washington.
Okay, we'll write them a letter and tell them about you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, thank God you're staying out in that post.
Hey, just tell me one thing. Do you still hate us as much as you used to?
My feelings for you have kind of matured a bit, but no,
you
haven't
stand
improved
them.
Any.
They haven't improved, but they've matured.
How about the dog? Does the dog still hate us?
Yes.
I think your original letter stated that your dog hated us even more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the P.S., right?
P.S., and my dog hates you, too.
We still have the same dog.
You still have the same dog. So what prompted you to call us?
Well, actually, I have a question for you.
No kidding.
Really?
Hmm? So you want to just, like, use us and toss us aside?
Yes. Are you all right with that?
Well,
we admire your candor.
Yeah. You are honest. I will say that for you. You were kind of cute, actually, as a 14-year-old.
But thank you.
I found myself hating you less after we met. Because Melissa, didn't we actually pay for her airplane ticket and she came here to...
You did.
Yeah, you came. You were a guest.
Sweet.
You were a live guest in our show.
She was.
You made a comment about every single question we answered. Mostly negative, I believe.
All negative, yeah.
And we had the good grace to take you out to dinner afterwards.
Yeah, you tried to get me to eat calamari.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hoping to make you sick for the plane ride home. And then I remember that you broke my pipe.
I did not.
You did too.
I stole it. I didn't break it.
Oh, you stole it.
She stole it.
Yes, I had a corn cob pipe.
That you spent a lot of money for.
I spent $1.99 for it, Nini's. And Melissa stole my pipe. You still have it?
No.
Okay.
Melissa, I'm honored that you called us.
Well, wait and see what she wants.
Well, what do you want?
See, I got a motor scooter about 2 weeks ago.
What kind?
I got it at a Suzuki dealership.
Oh, so you bought it brand new?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a motor scooter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my dad, he, like, rode bikes when he was a kid, and he thinks it's the coolest thing ever. And he's like, yeah, you're going to have so much fun on this thing. My mom worked in the ER for a while and saw a motorcycle accident, and she thinks I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how dangerous they really are. She's right.
Well, you know, this is a tough one. If I loved you, which maybe your mother does, but probably nobody in the world does.
Hey.
Well, you're a mean, rotten little kid. What do you want? Look, here's the deal. Your mother is absolutely right. Man, these things, they are so much fun. I understand. I had one once. They are really a lot of fun, but they really are dangerous, and your mother is absolutely right. Have you driven a car for long?
Yeah.
How long?
About 4 years.
How many accidents have you had in that time?
None.
How many have you caused?
None. I'm a very safe driver, thank
Where
you.
Are you going to use this thing? On the streets of Seattle?
Yeah. It's not fast enough for the freeway.
But you'll be riding on the same streets that are used by trucks and buses.
Yes.
Yeah, gee whiz. I have to... Wait, but you bought it already.
Yeah.
Your mother allowed you to buy it?
Yeah. Well, it's on my dad's credit card.
And now she's telling you that you shouldn't drive it because it's too dangerous?
Well, she's not telling me not to drive it, but she's doing like the mom not saying anything, but you know what she's thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Man, I would hate to see anything happen to you, Melissa. Who could hate us as much as you do and be so honest about it? Oh, no, we get more mail than we need in that area, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, I would say enjoy the motor scooter, Melissa.
No, your mother is really right. They are terribly dangerous, only because you have absolutely no protection. And even if you think you're a good driver, it doesn't really matter that you're a good driver because no one else is.
And they're especially dangerous in inclement weather, mm-hmm. which you get a lot of in that neck of the woods.
Don't do it. I really don't want you to do it.
Man.
You can mail it to me, though. FedEx will deliver it.
Yeah. My brother's been looking for a scooter. He'll give you $200 for it.
So if I was your daughter, I wouldn't have one?
Oh, absolutely not. If you were my daughter, and I have a 19-year-old daughter minus 5 years, then she's about the age you were when you first told us how much you hated us.
And interestingly, Anna hates Tommy also.
Just as much as you did.
Oh, more.
Maybe more.
Oh, it's downright vitriolic.
She refers to me as a crazy old man. And that's sort of what you said to us 5 years ago. Don't drive it, really.
Okay.
All right.
And Melissa, I can't mm-hmm. tell you what a pleasure it is to hear from you because
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, nor can I. See you, Melissa.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She sounds like a perfectly nice young lady.
Yeah, don't let that fool you.
19 years old.
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
A little twerp.
Okay, Tommy, you know, it's time for us to take a short break.
And when we come back, we will not have an answer to last week's puzzler. Why? Because there was no puzzle last week. Did you know
that? Well, that's true. What else will we not have when we come back?
Anything intelligent to say.
All right. You've eliminated 2 out of 6 zillion possibilities. You want to keep going? Or should I skip right to what we will have?
Sure, fine.
We will have more of your calls and a philosophical question put to my brother.
Excellent. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Original equipment. Stock engine still runs high. The powered seat is firm, but can adjust throughout long drives. Suspension holds no wearing. Front end's been known to drop. Yet once I get a green light, it's too hard to ever stop. Come right in my DeSoto. And we'll both have a good time. Come right in my DeSoto. And we'll both have a good time.
And even though Nepalese yaks leave a deposit on the nearest shortwave radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and the answer to an important philosophical question.
You're going to love this.
I'm sure I will.
This is from Andy Reichman from Marlboro, Vermont, 05344. Dear Click and Clack, I'm writing to offer profound thanks to you for resolving an important philosophical question that has been heatedly debated for the last 20 years.
Really?
Get this now. The rumination began on a construction site one summer in the early 70s as my best friend Jamie and I were working our way through college. The question we raised and have agonized over all these many years is one that I have never read about in any philosophical treatise, and yet I have found it has applied to countless situations and conversations, overheard in bars, repair shops, sporting events, political debates, etc., etc. Posit the question. Do two people who don't know what they're talking about know more or less than one person who doesn't know what he's talking about?
Is wow. It? Let me think about this for a minute. What's your opinion?
I'll get this. I believe that you have definitively answered this query and have put the debate to rest in your recent conversation regarding electric brakes on a cattle carrier. Remember that call a few weeks ago?
Oh, I do.
Amazingly enough, you prove that even in a case where one person might know nothing about a subject, It is possible for two people
to know less than nothing. Well, I think we prefaced our answer with the fact that we know nothing.
He says that. He says one person will only go out so far on a limb.
Unless he has someone to egg him on.
His construction of deeply hypothetical structures, and will often end with a shrug or raising of hands to indicate the dismissibility of his particular take on the subject. With two people, the intricacies, the gives and takes, the wherefores and why nots can become a veritable pas de deux of breathtaking speculation. This is a great letter. Interwoven in such a way that apologies or gestures of doubt are rendered unnecessary. I had always suspected this was the case, but no argument I could have built from my years of observation would have so satisfyingly closed the door on the subject as your performance on the cattle carrier call. To begin your comments by saying, we'll answer your question if you tell us how electric brakes work, and we've never heard...
That was a tip-off.
We've never heard of electric brakes. I remember saying that. And then indulge in lengthy theoretical postulations on the whys and wherefores of the caller's problem allowed me to observe that you were finally putting this gnarly question to rest. I am forever indebted to you for the great service you have performed. I'm truly impressed that it took so many years of listening to your show to finally have this matter resolved. Andy Reichman. Boy, this guy had to be an English major at UVM.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they don't... That's good writing, man.
That is a good letter.
See, now, I want the rest of the...
Well, I
want
to know how electric brakes do work.
I never heard of electric brakes. I just want to point out that this letter is the paradigm to which all our other listeners should aspire.
And this is the benchmark letter.
This is it. This is the benchmark.
Yeah.
So, I know...
We will rate all letters. We'll give them an Andy 1 to 10.
Ah, okay, we'll rate them on an Andy scale.
Right.
Yeah, like an Emmy, Oscar, and an Andy.
An Andy.
I will save Andy Reichman for him. Wow!
Yeah, his letter's actually an 8. I mean, there's room for improvement.
There is room for improvement. Wow.
All right, talk about room for improvement. You will see in moments.
With two people, the intricacies, the gives and takes, the wherefores and why nots
can become... A veritable pas de deux.
Of breathtaking speculation interwoven in such a way that apologies or gestures of doubt are rendered unnecessary. Woo-hoo! So two people can know more less than one person.
Oh, yeah. No,
we knew that. If he had just asked us the question, we could have answered that. Okay.
Yeah, and I think we've also proved that with a few other calls, actually. Anyway, if you'd like to talk about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor, Michigan, so it must be Kathy with a K.
Hey, you are one smart guy.
Well, you notice I've never been wrong on the Kathy thing.
Oh, come on.
I have never been wrong on the Kathy thing because I know the rule.
Louie. We need...
You find any call. Go through the tapes.
Louis has all the tapes. Louis Cronin has all the tapes. And I guarantee you, by this time next week, we will have at least 10 examples where you say, that Kathy, no, I'm sorry. You'll see. Anyway,
I've never been wrong on the Kathy one.
Kathy with a K from Ann Arbor, what can we do for you?
I have a light plum that's very important, 95 Saturn.
Light plum.
And it has about 86,000 miles on it now. And it has this thing that after I drive it for a little bit of time, probably about 10 minutes at a high speed, if I have to go into reverse, my car will do this very nice, we'll wait for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then it will go, ka-clunk, and then I'll be in reverse. And
oh, it's an automatic transmission car. Used to be.
About 2 months ago, I had to have the head gasket replaced because there was oil in it. There was a crack in something, and Saturn did a recall.
Oh, oil was getting into your coolant.
Yes, right, exactly. And so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it's a very delicate car.
Would you like it to have something to do with it?
Okay, if that means Saturn has to pay for it.
That's going
to
be harder for us because it doesn't have anything to do with it, but we'll work on it.
If Saturn has to recall it and pay for it, that would be good.
I don't think we can arrange that.
No, it seems... No. How many miles are on it again?
86.
86K. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're really lucky,
no.
And it sounds like you're a nice person and deserving of some good fortune.
Because I'm a student with lots of loans, yes.
Oh,
you're done for.
You are done.
Well, if you're really lucky, you're just low on transmission fluid.
Oh, I like that.
Have you ever checked it?
Never mind.
You don't have to answer if you have to hesitate that long and say, let's see, what is a transmission?
Where
is the
transmission? I just got my first set of new tires at 86,000 miles because I didn't know any better. So,
well, I would take it into your repair shop, and you must have one of those.
Okay.
Better still, go to a gas station.
Okay.
And ask that person at the gas station to check the transmission fluid for you.
Yeah. Okay.
That person will pull out the dipstick, check the fluid, and if you're lucky, it's down a quart or so.
Okay.
That would be just great.
And if that's the case, filling it up will probably fix this problem.
I like that.
That doesn't mean that the problem is solved entirely, because you're not supposed to lose fluid. You don't burn up transmission fluid like you do engine oil.
Oh.
If you're losing any, it means you have a leak.
Oh.
And so then you have, once you've rectified the existing, you know,
symptom.
The symptom. There you go.
That's it.
Then you can go ahead and address the real issue, which is where is it leaking from?
So that's something I should ask for Christmas.
Right. But if in fact the transmission fluid doesn't fix it, then you're probably in for a rebuild.
That's not pretty.
Well, you might be eligible for a federal SLTR, which is a student loan for transmission rebuild. So you should investigate
that. There's a website for that, yeah.
Yeah, there
is
a website.
Fill out the form.
See you, Kath.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
With a K.
Of course. My brother's never wrong about that. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Andras. I'm from Suwanee, Tennessee.
Andras.
Hello there.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Andras.
Yeah, Andras. Like when you take out the trash.
O-N-D-R-A-S?
A-N-D-R-A-S.
A-N. Yeah.
By the way.
Where are you from?
I live in Suwanee, but I'm born in Hungary.
You must be a college professor.
No. I'm just a chef cooking for all the school of theology students and professors.
Ah.
Yeah, so...
What? Is there a college in Suwanee, Tennessee?
Oh, yeah, the University of the South. Also the School of Theology.
Oh.
Episcopal ministers.
Oh, so you are providing food... The professors provide food for thought, and you provide food for eating.
Yes, they provide spiritual nourishment. And
yeah, exactly. Okay. Nourishing my little sheep. Yeah.
Okay, so what's up?
Well, there's a situation. I have a 1992 F-150 four-wheel drive pickup truck.
Got it.
And I had a couple months ago, I had a little problem. As I coming up on this beautiful mountain, I lost oil pressure. Of course, I had about 30 bags of this concrete in the back there, you know, this quickcrete mix.
Oh, you're making pancakes the next morning, right?
on my little side job in there.
Yeah.
So the oil pressure just suddenly dropped down, and next morning when I started up, it started click, 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 clicking.
Oh, my God.
My valves maybe got it. So I take him to the repair shop, and they said, yes, we have to fix your valves. All's well, we have to replace your camshaft bearings and your oil pump as well. So getting to this big expense, talking about $1,200. The thing is, it's very quiet and very beautifully running now, but every time when I heat up the engine and the oil gets hot, and soon if I take my foot up the gas pedal, I'm just rolling into the intersection to the complete stop. Of course, the RPM drops down to 700-800.
Yeah.
And the oil pressure is just goes down also.
All the way to zero?
Yes.
Well, see when they said Muhammad, they replaced the camshaft bearings.
Yes.
They replaced the lifters.
The lifters in the...
And,
yes,
of course, they replaced the oil pump.
But they did not replace the main bearings. Is that correct?
Did they at least take the main bearings out and measure everything?
No.
Oh.
No, they don't, but they charge me...
They charge you $1,200 to do this work?
$1,200 for the camshaft? You know, that sounds about right.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of the work they did, especially the replacement of the camshaft
bearings... You're not
going
to like this...
...is for naught. You're going to have to do the work over again, and this time you're going to have to replace the main and connecting rod bearings, too, because you have a situation where you starve the engine of oil more than once now, and whenever you do that, you ruin the bearings.
If the bearings don't get oil, then...
Andres, you there!
Yeah, I mean, and when they had the oil pan off, it would have been so easy to look at the main bearings and the connecting rod bearings, and they seems like they didn't do it.
If they had pulled off those caps, they would have seen that those bearings were all chewed up.
And it's not holding pressure, because when the oil pump pumps, but if the bearings are not tight, it won't hold the pressure, which is exactly what's happening.
Right.
But it will get worse. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
It will get worse because...
I can't wait for that day.
Well, I mean, the only reason I say that in my convoluted logic is that you could go back and tell these guys to do what they have to do. On the other hand, you could wait until it got worse.
No, I would go back right away because...
They're not going to do anything.
Well, what they're going to do, they're going to rebuild the entire engine, which is what you should have done in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, bummer.
I'm going to have to sell the truck.
Oh, man.
Well, good luck.
I'm sorry we didn't have better news for you, Andres.
Well, thank you. It's pretty good. It's a direct steering into direction. Get a brand new truck.
Good luck, Andres.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Philadelphia.
Oh, not another one.
We've already had one Melissa.
Oh.
She was a previous caller,
right.
And she was a real pain in the butt.
And we tried to get rid of her the last time, and we couldn't. So
if you notice a little edge in our responses to you, it's only because we're still suffering from the first Melissa encounter, and it has nothing personally to do with you.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, here's the situation.
Yeah.
I have a...
What do you want? Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a 1995 Hyundai Accent. It's an automatic. Mm-hmm. And my mother drives a 94 Subaru something or another. Mm-hmm. I religiously use my overdrive button on, off 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
She, you know, upon learning that she even had this, it didn't sufficiently motivate her to use it.
Yeah.
So my question is, what benefit am I giving my car that she's not? Or conversely, what damage is she doing by not using hers at all? That I'm not doing.
What makes you think that the damage and benefit matrix should be in your favor?
Well, I don't think she suggested that.
I think so. You did suggest that.
I did suggest that.
Oh, you did.
I mean, I can seriously feel if I don't turn the button, when I brake, my car bucks a little bit. So it's important to me to use it. And I can feel, you know, that there's pressure in...
Yeah.
When I don't use it correctly, I can feel the car changing.
Well, you're crazy.
We should explain to the other. We should explain to our other listener that what Melissa is doing is disengaging and engaging the overdrive, and thus either making the car drive in with three gears only, or allowing it to shift into the fourth gear. I believe this thing is a four-speed automatic transmission.
You're lucky it has that.
So when you're driving around at a speed where it would ordinarily be can't decide between whether it wants to be in third or fourth gear, you force it to stay in third gear and not go any higher.
If you don't engage the button.
If you don't engage it, right.
Correct.
But when you do engage the overdrive button and you go at the right speed, whatever it is for this car, maybe 30 miles an hour or 34 miles an hour, it'll shift to third, then up to fourth, and then if you slow down a mile an hour, it'll shift back to third, and you think that that's bad for the car. And Mom doesn't do this, and she hasn't even noticed that her car does upshift and downshift, maybe because she drives a car that shifts a lot better than yours.
Okay.
But if you think that it's doing good for your car, then you should continue to do it.
I'm going to continue to do it.
I know you are, because you sound like a very stubborn individual.
I'd like to tell you you're wrong there, but...
Yeah, no, I know. Your mother already talked to us.
Yeah, she just called a few minutes ago. No, I mean, what the overdrive... The only purpose of the overdrive is to get you into a higher gear. Exactly,
right.
But in your case, it's only fourth.
Okay.
And why do you want to do that? Because you use less fuel. And that's the only thing it does.
Okay.
Because when you get into the higher speeds, it doesn't take as much energy to keep you moving.
So it's really about fuel efficiency.
So it's only about fuel efficiency. So your observation that it does something when you're slowing down below 20 miles an hour is complete nonsense, Melissa. It makes no sense, but if it makes you feel better and justifies what you've done, then you go right ahead and keep thinking it.
Thank you. I needed Tom Ray validation. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Thanks for your help.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a lot, Melissa.
See you, Melissa.
She's fun.
Bye-bye.
I liked Melissa, and I would have coffee with her if she was buying.
If she was buying, right. Okay, Tommy, your favorite part of the show is upon us.
Oh, is this the part where the entire staff joins together and breaks into a heartfelt rendition of Kumbaya?
Kumbaya.
No, no. This is where our entire staff joins together in a workshop for how to obfuscate working for Car Talk on your resume.
We'll be back in a minute with more of your calls.
So please stay tuned.
Visions kind of blur. Wake up in a hurry, leaving early and wide open as my deal with my mama at the wheel. Maybe crossing state lines, maybe making good time, reading road signs without ever really knowing or asking mama where we're going.
And even though the good humor man heaves a box of frozen strawberry shortcakes at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and anything else you want to talk about. But first, Tommy, you've got mail, don't you?
I do. I have mail. I mean, I have all kinds of stuff. And this is just a little list of, I don't know, little sayings. Here we go. I'll just give you a few of them.
Go ahead. Any participation required on my part?
No, you can fall asleep.
Oh, good.
You might like some. Never be afraid to try something new. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Another one. Love is grand. Divorce is a couple of hundred grand. One of my favorites. Politicians and diapers have one thing in common. They should both be changed regularly and for the same reason. I like that one, too. I always wanted to be a procrastinator, but I never got around to it. And this, you'll like this one. A day without sunshine is like night.
I love it.
I like love is grand. Divorce is a couple of hundred grand.
Anyway, if you have mail for my brother, you can send it to him at Mail for Tommy. Hmm. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email him from cartalk.com. And by the way, the astute among you may have noticed that this is normally the part of the show where we introduce the new puzzler.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it.
And the non-astute are probably just as surprised as my brother to hear that.
That's me.
But in any case, if you're really jonesing for a puzzler, you can always check out this week's Arch Rival.
Arch Rival.
Arch Rival. It used to be the Archival Puzzler, but
I like Arch Rival.
Arch Rival Puzzler over at the website, cartalk.com. In the meantime, if you would like to call us, even if you would not like to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK.
We're not going to change the number just because they don't want to call us. That's the number.
It's the number. And
you want to call us or you don't want to call us, that's the number we're sticking with.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I can remember it. Hello.
Hi, this is Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. Where are you from?
Right now I live in Boston. I just moved up here about 6 months ago from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, Boston. Wow. Our
Jacksonville. Jacksonville has great memories for me because it is the first place you can make a phone call when you take the Amtrak train to Miami. When you leave Boston.
That's the first place.
It's the first place. You can't.
That's because you probably need to call for help when you get there.
Yeah, well, that's where they take the padlocks off the compartment doors. Yeah, Igor comes around and takes the locks off. Yeah. You can make a call now.
In the meantime, they have Igor chained to the floor of the baggage car.
Exactly.
Yes, my brother, we call Tommy the train boy now because he doesn't fly anymore. He takes the train every place.
The train is good.
Which has put a crimp in his trips to Europe. Anyway, so what can we do for you, Sophia?
I have a problem with my 1992 Honda Civic. Okay, and let me preface this by saying I took it to a dealership here in town twice, and they've not been able to recreate this problem. If someone is sitting in the passenger seat front, then my car makes a terrible grinding, scraping noise whenever I make a right-hand turn or go down like a driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Only if there's a passenger in the front seat, though.
I'm with you.
And if there's nobody in the front seat and I drive through the wonderful roads of Boston, Somerville, et cetera, it makes a squeaking noise, which it's been doing for about 2 days now, when there's no one in the front seat other than me.
Does the noise occur only when the vehicle's moving?
Yes.
And is the noise in step with the rotation of the wheels? In other words, when you begin to hear the noise, does it sound like a zhunk, 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 zhunk as the wheel turns?
No.
Is it a constant noise?
It goes... when I turn.
And does it sound like it's coming from the right front of the car?
It sounds like it's coming from the, yeah, it kind of sounds like it's coming from the right front, like under the in the tire, in the wheel well or something.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, but I've had it looked at, like I had the CV joints, I had the CV boots inspected, and I had them look at the shocks. And
it's none of those things.
It's none of these things.
We know that. We know it's none of those things.
Okay. Did you suggest what they should look at, or did they?
I told them what the problem was and how to recreate the sound, solve it.
Did they experience the sound themselves?
No, they told me I was having an auditory hallucination.
Auditory hallucination. And this is two different dealerships?
No, this is the same. I gave them an opportunity to redeem themselves next time. They did not.
Are you heavy enough to sit in that passenger seat and make it make the noise?
I don't know. I haven't tried. Like, sit in it and bounce?
No. Sit in it and have them drive it.
I don't know. I have not tried this because I leave my car to go to work.
Yeah, I got you.
You need to take it someplace, probably not to these guys again.
No, they're not serious.
And put whoever it is that's going to hear the noise in the passenger seat, and you drive the car around because you can get it to do it.
Oh, I can, yes, definitely.
And once they hear it, I mean, it could be something as simple as the tire, the right front tire, hitting the plastic fender liner.
Well, that's exactly what it sounds like to me.
I think you have a broken right front coil spring.
Okay.
And as such, it's causing, when you put weight on that corner, because you don't have a whole spring there, the bottom coil usually breaks off. What's happening, I think, is that the tire is touching the fender liner.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good luck, Sophia.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your
Good
call.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm from Phoenix.
From Phoenix, and that's with a K, absolutely.
Are you sure about
yes,
that?
Yes, I am.
So what does it end with?
An I.
Wrong, Ola.
On both counts?
Wait, you tricked me on that one. It's Kathy's, K-A-T-H-Y.
I-E.
That's it, finally.
Sure, it's a basic Kathy from Phoenix. I've never been wrong on the Kathy front here. Never.
We'll see. We have to have a special edition of Something Chumps. Anyway, Kathy from Phoenix, what's up?
All right, this is a problem. I've got a 99 Caravan that's still under warranty.
Good.
Which is the only reason I ever went to the dealership.
Yeah.
Because as soon as that 36,000 mile change,
your history.
I'll be gone.
Yeah.
However, I went because I had my brake light coming on the dash.
Yeah.
And so I brought it home. I told my husband. He opens up the hood. Well, all the brake fluid is drained down. I mean, it's drained down. You know, the whole reservoir part is not full anymore. And, of course, there's probably more underneath, but you can't see that.
Mm.
So he fills it up. The brake light goes off. And he comments to me, you know, these brakes have always been spongy. Now, this is news to me. I've been driving all over town. I hadn't noticed. But,
yeah,
you know, guys have a better feel for this, I guess.
Yeah, well, we don't want to get into that either.
Yeah, well. So I take it to the dealership, and what a big surprise. They can't find anything wrong with it. The brakes are feeling fine. There's no problem with the brake fluid, but of course, being low. But, of course, they do have something that I can pay for as an out-of-pocket expense, which is a brake flush because they say my brake fluid is thick and dark.
Well, sounds like a scam to me.
All right. Now, I'm so glad to hear that because I said, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
You mean to
those
tell
are
me?
The words. Wait a minute.
Wait just a darn minute. Do you mean to tell me I've got a brand new car, practically speaking, here? Isn't a brake system supposed to be a closed system? If I'm losing significant enough fluid that it comes up as my whole reservoir empty, aren't I in danger of having brake failure? And this guy, my service representative, tells me, oh, no, not at all, because you've got 50% wear on your brakes. So that means the calipers have to stretch out further to hit your brake wall, and the fluid goes down to fill that up, and that's why it's low.
He's right about that.
Get out of here!
Lighten up, will you, Kathy?
Kathy!
Well, the fact that it is a closed system, and it is, means, I mean, when you step on the brake, what happens is the pressure is transmitted by the fluid to
right.
the calipers and all that stuff. And as the brakes wear out, as they are supposed to do,
right?
They wear out. What does that mean? Something disappears. Pieces of it disappear.
Yeah, but is my brake like 4 inches thick? I don't think so.
No, it doesn't take very much.
No, the brake lining is 3/8 of an inch thick.
Right,
and it doesn't take very much. If you're down 50%, that means, don't forget, you got two brake pads on the right front wheel, you got two brake pads on the left front wheel, you got two in the back and two in the back. All of those being worn out by 1/2 of 3/8, which is probably 4/8, or 1 1/2 8, means that all of that space had to be filled up with brake fluid. And so it's very possible that the reservoir looked like it was almost empty. That's a lot of brake fluid.
And then what happened when you filled it up, what you did was you filled up the fluid that was now in the system.
Correct.
If you now go ahead and put new pads in, you will push that fluid back up through the brake lines.
And splash it all over the inside of your engine.
And the master cylinder reservoir will overflow.
Okay, so why was my brake fluid sluggish then?
Well, I think they were making that up.
Or brackish.
Well, because he knew that all you really needed to do was to fill up the reservoir.
But, well, which I had already
which
done.
So he couldn't charge you for that because what? You did it.
Correct.
So he had to find something to charge you for.
But
what?
Okay, here's my second question.
Getting rid of her is going to be tough. Right now.
See, the problem is that, I mean, a lot of dealerships will tell you, don't replace the brake fluid when it looks low, because when we get around to replacing the brake pads, we're going to make a horrible mess because it's going to overflow the reservoir.
Well, plus you defeat the inherent warning system built into the reservoir float mechanism, which is designed to tell you, as it reads the drop in brake fluid level, that in fact your brakes are worn out. So when you saw the light come on, if you weren't so suspicious of the dealership's motives, you would have just taken the thing in and asked them to check your brakes. At which point they would have said, oh, Kathy, it's time for new brakes. And you would have said, really, after 34,000 miles? And they would have said, well, they do wear out pretty quickly on these new vehicles. And
well,
you would
actually
have said, oh, okay, if it's not more than 800, go ahead and do it. And that's what a good customer would have done.
You know, no one suggested that. Not one single person.
No, they didn't.
No, they were afraid of you.
As are we.
But you should obviously keep an eye on the fluid level. And if it does seem to drop at a rate that is ever increasing, then you do have a leak. But I would be surprised if you had a leak.
And you also have wear indicators on the brake pads. And they will sort of tell you when they're ready to get replaced.
Okay.
Good luck, Kathy. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we're very happy that you live in Phoenix and you're not our customer.
That could change anything. That
could change anything. Hey, thanks for calling.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Car Talk. Brian from Boston over here.
Hey, this is our second call from Boston in as many days.
I mean, really, Boston? Well, Boston, Boston?
Boston, right across the river.
All right. So what are we going to do for you today?
Well, I have a Toyota 1992, the Camry. My problem is my wife took the kids to the park, and when the day was over, they got back into the car, and my 8-year-old was fidgeting like there's no tomorrow in the back seat. When my wife turned around, he had about a 15-inch garter snake. So, she gave the hoot and the holler and the scream and went outside the car. And said, get that thing out of here.
He brought it in with him?
In the car in the back seat. He was pumped up. He wanted to bring it home, you know?
He was showing a normal kid's curiosity.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So anyway,
And your wife should be ashamed of herself for screaming like
so
that.
So the snake is still in the car, huh?
The snake is still in the car.
Oh, it is?
That's my problem.
I had a feeling.
So I'm driving down the Southeast Expressway, which you're familiar with.
And yes.
I look down on the passenger side floor, and what goes by is a snake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it goes up. It goes up underneath the dashboard.
Yeah, they love it underneath there. Well, I don't know why.
Because it's a place to hide.
And I see it about every other day. So I'm getting a little bit worried now because it's been about the fourth or fifth day, and now I'm feeling a little sorry because I don't know if it's eaten anything except the crumbs I drop when I drive, you know?
You need to call. You need to go to www.rentthemongoose.com.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, well, first of all, I don't know what these snakes do in the winter, but he's unlikely to be able to survive in the winter in your car. So if you just could wait them out.
No, well, then you're going to find a dead snake wrapped around
the wiring harness? That would be the inhumane thing to do.
I think so.
I think you have to return the snake to its natural habitat, and you have to lure him out.
Well, look, you're not very far from the Franklin Park Zoo.
That's right.
I would take a little ride over to the zoo. Better yet, call Dougie's wife. She's a veterinarian. And she will know a way to get the snake out of there because she knows the basic habits of the snakes.
And having lived with Doug all these years.
Exactly. the answer is we don't know.
And whatever you do, Brian, do not bring this car to our shop.
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
Well, the other problem I have is that my wife will not get in the car.
Duh!
I don't blame her.
I don't think I would either. I mean, even though you know this is a harmless snake, because it would have killed you by now if it were
harmless. It's going to kill you by scaring the living daylights out of you when you're on the Southeast Expressway.
That's what happens.
Because it's not going to appear on the passenger side floor. It's going to appear on your shoulder.
Oh, no, worse than that. Up your pant leg.
Uh-oh.
Oh, can you imagine that? Woo! Oh, God.
Yeah. My best advice is Franklin Park Zoo. Ask for the reptile guy, Mr. Snake.
Yeah.
And he or she might know how to lure a snake. I don't know how to lure a snake.
I will do that.
Either that or you go to the Rayburn Music and you buy yourself a clarinet.
And you can lure him out. That's it. Yeah.
See you, Brian. Good luck.
Well, thanks a lot. See you later.
Well, we helped him a lot. Well, you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion. Punkin Lips, Bongo Boy.
Bongo
Berman.
Boy.
Bongo
Boy.
There's a certain ring to that.
There is Bongo Boy Berman. I love it. This man took 8 semesters of African drumming at Wesleyan University. That's one semester for every year that he was there.
Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor is just back from the Valley Stream, Heavy Cream, Battered Bream, Pork Supreme, Light Soy Dream, and Latte Steam Diet Scheme is John Bugsy Lawler. A busy guy. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our scout leader is Lawson DeWoods. Our retractable antenna tester is Benton Broke. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the scholars in black socks and flip-flops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of this show, which is number 831, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available by calling 888-CAR-JUNK or at the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com. Also this week, how to skip the whole trade-in charade and donate your used car to benefit your public radio station instead. It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
But the haggling over the trade-in is my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Twice now you've gotten them up from 50 cents to a dollar.
Check out the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. For more info, go to cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Sylvia Poggioli says, Porca miseria, ma chi sono questi cafoni, when she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.